We're marching through Colossians. Well, we're probably dawdling actually, but if we're dawdling, then we've dawdled as far as Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And often, when I approach a passage to preach on it, it's not so easy to see the sort of big idea or how it breaks down into headings. We're looking at Nahum next. Do read Nahum. If you're feeling particularly upbeat, it's a good day to read it. If you're feeling a bit depressed, don't. But, you know, that wasn't quite so easy. But this passage is one of those where we've got a couple of short verses that actually just sums up the basis of what a Christian life looks like, feels like, and is like. So it's easier this week. At least the breakdown was easier. That's where it stopped being easy. But up to this point in his letter, Paul has been back and forth between the negatives and the nakedness of life without Christ, and the completeness and the positiveness of a life fully clad in Christ. We left last week having been given a good description of all the old stuff that needs stripping off and all the new stuff that needs putting on. And here he's reached a point where he's giving them his four-point plan on what a well-dressed Christian will look like when they're fully dressed in Christ. And the four headings I've got are being, teaching, worshipping, and witnessing. So, let's move on then. Being. Verse 16 starts off, "Let the message of Christ in all its richness fill your lives." I wonder what fills your life. I wonder what fills my life. If you were a glass jar and we could see through that glass all the things that fill your life, I wonder what we might see. I wonder how much of that jar would be Christ. Maybe your life is filled with stuff. You know what stuff is, don't you? Stuff like work, paying the bills, TV, social media, who's posted what rubbish that I've got to repost, and all that kind of jazz. Getting a new house, getting a new car, a new phone, a new job, a new whatever you name it to be, I suppose. Maybe that's a good part of your life, or maybe it's family. Fretting over your ancient parents, your children, an expected new arrival, or homework, or housework, or visiting, and helping, and wondering, and worrying, and wearing ourselves out. Or maybe your life is not filled with that. Maybe it's filled with health issues, real or imagined, acute or chronic, overwhelming or ongoing. Or maybe it is just being busy in this modern world that fills our lives. Or perhaps your life is filled with other things, maybe pipe dreams. You know, the kind of thing, a long lost relative leaving you a mansion. Yeah, they're that long lost that you don't mind when they pop their clogs and leave you the mansion. Or becoming famous, or being important, or anything in fact that means your circumstances change without you having to do a thing. Or is it maybe something else that's filling you up? Maybe it's a past hurt. Maybe it's a past regret. A past hurt that you just won't let go of. Or a past regret that you just keep picking up again when Jesus says, put it down and leave it. As Solomon puts, like a dog going back to his vomit when that happens, aren't we? When we pick up the stuff that's just messy and we don't need to pick up again. And of course, I could go on, and maybe you think I'm going on. But honestly, are you letting the message of Christ in all its riches and all its richness, is that what is filling your life? Just notice with me, will you, what Paul actually says here. It's not, is that message filling your life, but are you letting it? Oh, that's a very different question, isn't it? I've got a choice, you see. I've got a choice about this. Am I letting Christ's richness and all its fullness fill my life? I mean, am I doing that? I've got a choice, and so have you. I've got a choice, and so have you. I can choose to be filled with any mixture of the stuff on my list, or I can be filled with Christ, by Christ, and for Christ. And so can you. You have a choice, so do I. But that's a bit easy, isn't it? A bit unreasonable of me, maybe. After a minute, you might think that, yeah, come on, life does involve stuff, doesn't it? You know, we've got to go and earn some money, we've got to pay the bills. There are relationships, there are cares, there are thoughts, there is family. And maybe you're thinking again, oh, Pastor, you're an idiot. You're in cloud cuckoo land once again. You're making it sound so simple. Well, don't shoot the messenger, because I don't make it simple, Jesus does. And Paul's saying it simply. Yes, of course, all those things are what life is about. Not all of it needs to be, though, of course. Some of it could be stripped out. But a good part of it is what that stuff is. But the difference that Christ makes is what Paul is saying about. What is the difference that Christ makes when you let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives? What is this? Then and only then can he and will he rebuild your life with you. Crazy pipe dreams will seem as silly to you as they really are. The time you waste on social media. I know that hurts a lot of people when I say that. Because, it's really important. Facebook's really quite useful. I keep in touch with my friends. But the time you waste on social media will become obvious to you. Your money, your health, your family, your relationships will all be in his hands. And so you'll be able to trust him through life's twists and its turns. You will use your time more wisely and find that you have things to do that he has directed you to do. And you will have the time to do it. Though you might just have to maybe put the TV remote away a bit, or pop your phone in your pocket, or put Facebook on the back burner, or Twitter, or whatever else it is. The other thing I want you to notice about what Paul says here is that he says fill and not just be part. Not just is a little bit of the message, but no, is the message about Christ and all its richness filling your lives? Our God is a jealous God. He says to you and he says to me, it is all or nothing. That was a good pop song, wasn't it? All or nothing. But that's what God says. It's all or nothing. You can't just keep hold of some things with one of your hands just tightly gripping it and then try and grab hold of God with the other one. Faith is about trusting Jesus Christ with absolutely everything, and that is a two-hand job. Hold up your empty hands, says Jesus, and grab hold of me. Otherwise you end up risking having something pulled off, and it's not going to be very polite and very pleasant, very, very nice. It's a whole thing. You'd be tearing yourself apart otherwise. When you grab hold of me with both hands, says Jesus, then we'll sort this thing called life out together, and all the other bits will fill in. But your life will be filled with Christ. Next, we've got teaching. Verse goes on, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. I wonder, do you think Paul's lost the plot at this point? Surely that is the job of the specialist. You know, we have the specialists in churches, don't we? We have the pastor, we have the elders, we have the children's worker, we have the youth workers, we have those who do the teaching. This is so important for us. This is such a major gap in the church these days. Paul has said, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. I've mentioned that enough times. You've probably got that by now. And we've seen that on a living level, that will make a whole lot of difference. We've seen that, haven't we? But it's not just a case of letting Jesus rule, though of course that is important. It's a case of knowing his message, his word, his love letter written to us and for us, and then teaching and counselling each other with all the wisdom he gives. I wonder how often and for how long you and I might pray, pick up our Bibles, and then read and listen to what God is teaching us through it. It is so important. So important we do that. It's so important we try and live a Christian life. Because if we try and live a Christian life without the user guide that we call the Bible, that is about as sensible as taking a tightrope walk across a ravine without any advice or any training and wearing a blindfold and trying to do it backwards. It's that stupid. And yet so often people who say they're Christians do that. The Bible gathers dust. It might get picked up occasionally and dusted, but very rarely are opened. So personally, we need to let the message about Christ and all its richness fill our lives. But as Paul goes on to say, we must teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Why do we have house groups? Why do we have prayer meetings alongside our Sunday worship? Well, I'll tell you the answer before you're all so eager to call out. It is because we need the opportunity to eat biscuits and drink tea. That's really important, isn't it? But also alongside that, there's something else that's just maybe just a little bit more important. Alongside that, we need to get alongside each other and help each other along in our journeys. To be encouraged, to be lifted out of whatever hole we might have fallen into that week or that month or that day. To challenge each other, to teach each other, to counsel each other. Now God thinks this is important. In fact, he thinks it's so important, he thinks it's important enough to mention it quite a lot of times in the Bible. And I might be wrong, that did happen once, but not very often. But if God says we need this, now I'm just guessing that maybe we might just benefit from taking him seriously about it. If God says we need it, I'm pretty sure we do. If you're already in a house group, that is great. That's great. You will know the benefits. You will know that the pleasure. But if not, then I would urge you to talk to Russell or talk to me about it. And we'll get you hooked up for the new term. I know that some, of course, will be sitting there tying their shoelaces or thinking, well, I'd really like to get along, but I'm just too busy. If that's the case, I would respectfully say to you, really? Are you really too busy? Are you sure? Or maybe is it just that your priorities are your priorities and you've got other ones other than this? You might want to revisit this with God. Maybe you're thinking, well, my health just won't allow it. I might not be well enough to get there. And if that's the case, I'd say to you, then you need the support all the more. And when you can get there, get there. And if maybe we can arrange other ways of you getting supported and helping other people be supported. I just have the goal of getting there when you can, but get hooked up with some people who can support you and who you can be part of a small group together with. I'd also say that you have a lot to offer others. It is not just about what we can get out of it. What does he say, Paul? Teach and counsel each other. This is a give and take kind of thing. Church families are like every other family. It shouldn't just be take, take, take. Or give, give, give. It should be give and take. I'd also say that it's good for you to share with others how God is enabling you and how he is healing you and how he is helping you. And maybe you're thinking then, well, okay, this is a bit of a hard sell, isn't it? This is just because those elders just want to get their statistics up. We can just say, oh God, we've got 5 million house groups and 55,000 people in each one. Oh, it's going really well. Let me assure you that it is not. It is not a hard sell. And I know that for one or two, there will be legitimately things that will be holding you back. I don't want anyone to leave here today or any day feeling that they've been bullied. That would be wrong, and it is wrong. Russell and I simply want to lead you as the Lord leads us, and that is in love. Jesus will not bully us into doing the right thing. He won't bully us into doing what we need. We must choose. He doesn't say you must, but he does say this would be a really good idea for you. Get along to prayer meetings, get along to house groups. Heading 3 is worshipping. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Worshipping, in our fourth heading, witnessing, are both very closely linked, and we'll pick that up in a few minutes. We'll look at that link as we move on. But first, let's just look at the idea of coming together to worship, to sing. To sing. Singing. Best done in the shower, in the bath, maybe. You get a better echo chamber effect, but it's good to come together, isn't it? To worship, to sing. Now, plenty has been written about the difference between psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But to be honest, there are times when you really don't want to get unnecessarily bored. And honestly, there are times when there are more important things to look at. We could spend ages looking at that, but we're not going to bother. But there is one thing that I think it's worth pointing out. Paul had something really important to say to us here. And the important thing he had to say to us is this: our worship needs to allow for a whole mix of types and styles. You know, Christians waste so much time foolishly discussing what kind of music is best for worship. I wouldn't recommend thrash metal, but you know, and if you've never heard it, I wouldn't bother. But actually, that is foolish, because most kinds of music can be used in worship. It might be the incredible theology of an old hymn. I love old hymns. In all honesty, my favourite style of worship is probably old hymns. It might be the simple Bible verses used in simple choruses. They're great, aren't they? It can be a gospel style. It can be choral. It can be rock. It can be a Gregorian chant. The important thing, or the important things, I would say, are first, that the words are anchored in God's word. That is the most important thing. And secondly, that the music is played from and sung from the heart. One of the reasons we have an eclectic mix of styles here is because we recognize that the variety is a blessing. Our worship group have been and must be remaining in being careful about the songs they choose as they lead us in worship. It's important to know what the songwriter's life is about. That's important to know. It's important to know how biblical the words are. Yeah, a lot of rubbish is written alongside all the good stuff, and Paul's reminder to us is a good one. Remember the context of your singing, says Paul. It is the message of Christ. A couple of other points before we move on. Paul doesn't say, if you've got a brilliant voice, sing to God with a thankful heart. He doesn't say that, does he? He just says, sing. So if you can hold a tune really well, then sing out really well. If you've got a croaky old voice, then you should croak out your praises to the Lord. The point is not whether or not you're in tune, although that would be nice if you can manage it, is that we should sing, or that we should croak out our thanks in praise. And our worship is not primarily about the music and the singing. That's just to help. True worship doesn't come from our voices, it comes from our hearts. And that's important to remember, because otherwise worship can become a performance. And when it becomes a performance, it is no longer worship. We're not here to perform. None of us are here to perform. We're here to worship. You see, the performer says, listen to me, look at me, I'm wonderful. A worshipper says, listen to Jesus, look at him. Well, as we're talking music and worship, then we'll just segue straight into our next and last point. Witnessing. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. How does that fit in with worship? Simply that someone who is living a life of worship cannot fail in representing the Lord and giving thanks through him to God the Father. If we are living a life of worship, see, worship isn't just about Sunday mornings singing or croaking to the Lord. It is about our lives. It is about giving back God's worth to him as much as we can. Looking at that phrase, whatever you do or say. So that could include preaching, it could include teaching, it could include leading, it could include worship or a Bible study. Or it could include eating or driving or cleaning the house, or it could include shopping or visiting a friend, or it could include working or playing football if you're that stupid, or running or sitting, or in fact it could include anything. Our words are everything that passes our lips, even in the unguarded moments. Everything we say or do is to be done knowing we are the Lord Jesus' representatives. The world, you see, is going to be watching us Christians. It's going to be watching. It's going to be relishing any kind of mistakes. It'll see if we truly believe what we say. How can they tell? Well, they watch our lives, don't they? Call yourself a Christian? The test of a genuine faith is a God honouring consistency in our lives. Honouring God consistently. And no, don't get me wrong, I don't mean true faith is perfection. That is not going to be happening in this life. But nevertheless, even when we mess up and when we fail, you notice I say when we mess up and when we fail, not if, we should handle those situations as a Christian. We should be willing to take responsibility for our actions. No excuses, no blaming others. And be willing to put things right where we can. Paul wants us to allow Christianity to infuse and impact every area of our life. The way we manage our money, what we do with it, and our time, what we do with that. The way we serve in the church, the way we respond to the needs of people around us. The way we react to those who upset us. The way we react to those people we don't particularly like. The way we conduct business, what we do with the things we have, the way we use the internet, the way we use social media, the things we watch on television, the things that we decide quite rightly not to watch on television, not to do on the internet, not to do on social media, the types of secular things we get involved in. I could really go on a long list. All those things. People notice. And they think, well, if that's what Christianity is, I don't know any of that. Have you seen what he's put on Twitter? Have you seen what she's posted on Instagram? And what about that really ridiculous rant on Facebook? Have you seen through their window what they're watching on TV? Did you hear him in the garden when he cut his hand? See, she's gossiping again. They go to church. They're Christians. I don't want any of that. Whatever you do or say, do it as representatives of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Well, as we close, we're actually going to read that passage again together in a minute. I'm going to pop it up on the screen in a few moments. And as I do that, you'll see that I've changed the phrasing a little bit to make it into a personal prayer between each of us and our Lord. But before we say that prayer together, let me ask you, and I'm going to be asking myself this as well, do you need to begin reading the Bible daily, maybe for the first time or perhaps as a kickstart to get back into the habit? Have you got out of the habit? Have you never done it? If so, if you're struggling, if you're getting a bit of bother into getting to the rhythm of regular reading, then have a chat with Russell, have a chat with me, and we'll give you some pointers. Do you need to let others into your life a bit more? Other Christian people into your life a bit more? To allow them to be there for you? And do you need to be there a bit more for other people? Perhaps it's time for you to commit or recommit to a house group, to a prayer time. Do you need to allow joy into your faith? Maybe you think I've been going on so much about all this stuff that you're not doing or you should be doing, that joy isn't important. It is. That is the whole point, really, isn't it? We're supposed to have that joy with our God. Joy is important for you and it's important for others. Do you need to allow that a bit more into your faith? When we worship, don't worry about people around you. Read the words. Sing or croak from the heart and focus on the Lord, because he relishes hearing his children's praise. Go on. Be bold. Dare to express your faith as you sing. Finally, is your life lived in lots of different little boxes? I don't mean literally, that would be weird. But do you have a work box, a family box, a fun box, a serious box, a God box that you just dig out every now and then? Ask yourself, do you need to integrate your faith into every part of your life? Let's actively look for ways where God can be honoured more. If you're in a restaurant, do you say grace? And if you do, do you make it obvious that you're saying grace? At home, are you kind and gracious and loving with family and with visitors alike? On the football pitch, in the car, at the traffic lights, at the checkout, in the shop. It's easy to fall back into the grumpy, graceless, grouchy box, isn't it? I know it is. I find myself doing it. I pray that I'll do it less. So let's ask the Lord for help. Be ruthless with yourself. That's what I would say. We need to be ruthless with ourselves. Confront the excuses. Expose the duplicity. Push for a life where we strive to hit the mark of verse 17. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You see, the world will never believe what we say about Jesus until they see that we believe what we say about Jesus. We're going to sing our final hymn together in a moment, but first of all, in readiness to sing our worship, let's stand and let's pray together. We're going to say this together, and then we're going to sing our last hymn of worship. But as we say this prayer together, let it hit your heart. Let the Lord speak to you in the hours, the days, the weeks ahead. And as we come to worship, let's just remember why we can pray a prayer like this. Because the message about Christ in all its richness is stunning. So let us pray. Lord God, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill my life. Help me, Lord, to join in as we teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom you give. Help me, Lord, to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with a thankful heart. And whatever I do or say, I commit with your help, Lord, to do it as your representative, giving thanks through you to God the Father. Amen.